Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Father, we pray your blessing upon the word of God. May the preaching be anointed. Lord God, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? Lord God, we pray also that every need be met at Calvary because of Jesus this morning. Anybody not born again, we pray for their salvation. And Lord, anybody that's discouraged, we pray that you'd encourage them and you'd lift them up. And God, anybody running from you, we pray you'd convict them. And God, you'd draw them back to yourself because you love them. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Try to get this thing on. Here we go. All mic'd up. I was going through an old box. I cannot believe I did not find it before, but I did not. Somebody was asking me about the ring I have in my hand. This is my old college class ring. I stopped wearing it in 1981. I think I've told somebody else 1980, but it was 1981. I was on my way to a preacher's meeting. I was on the run. I was late. I came out of a rest area. I pushed through the door in the rest area on the run and caught the crash bar on the door, and it peeled my skin all the way back. When I finally got the skin back and the ring off, I said, I ain't wearing that ring anymore. Well, I found the ring in a box of stuff, and I'm looking at it, and man, it's got hardly ever been worn. And I'm thinking, you know, I could wear that now because I don't run anywhere anymore. So I got it. One of my grandsons looking at it and said, hey, Papa, can I have that ring when you die? So, good thought. That was another pleasant thought. We're reminded again that life is short and life is fragile. And I know that we all know that. And I've been preaching through the Psalms, a series of messages on the Psalms. And nobody could preach through the Psalms without preaching the 23rd Psalm. I know it's familiar with you, but I got something I want to share from it that's a little different than anything I've ever preached before. And I trust it'll be a blessing to you, and you'll see it as we work through it. But I want to start out this morning by simply saying that God is still on the throne. Amen. And no matter how dark things may get, it's not dark right now as far as I'm concerned. The day is bright. Man, we have great opportunity. But who knows what's going to happen tomorrow or just over the hill or just around the corner. No matter how dark things get, I want you to remember that God is on the throne. I got to preach up in Canada yesterday. It was a wonderful time. I had complete liberty and complete freedom, even among the Canadian people. And some of them even said amen once in a while. And it was a great response as far as to the preaching of God's word. I thank the Lord for that. I mentioned this in Sunday school this morning. I did meet a Christian brother, a Frenchman from, a French Canadian from, what is it again, Evelyn, or Pastor Bill? What is it? Kapuskasing? Yes. Somewhere up in Ontario. A handlebar mustache, a distinguished looking gentleman, loud, boisterous voice, and French Canadian all the way. Man, do I love that accent. We were riding in the car back across the border afterwards. I said, Bill, if you remind me, or Evelyn, if you remind me, I'm going to have that guy pray at one of the sessions, just so everybody hears that French Canadian, heavy French accent. And man, he loves the Lord. And I think those people they're a buzz. They did not know that old school even existed. So we got a bunch of French, a bunch of brothers, sisters in the Lord from Canada coming back down. That hasn't happened since COVID set in several years ago, and they're coming to old school this year. By the way, old school is being talked about all over the state. Going to be a big one. We got to bathe it in prayer. God has blessed us this summer. We've had over, now, the number keeps going up, over 100 people trust Christ as their Savior through the ministries of Fundamental Baptist Church this summer. And it's continuing to be added to. We've got 6 or 7 new families in the church. Empty cup, fill it up, give me what you got, and we're giving to them the Word of God. God is blessing, and God is at work in the day and age in which we live. Hey, record enrollment for Maplewood Baptist Academy. We've got our mission conference in front of us. I love that. We've got the holiday season in front of us. This again, this fall is a time of soul harvest and personal growth if we'll get in the battle. Amen. And that brings me to the message I want to preach this morning. Know this, everywhere I go, I've seen it all summer long. People are searching. Yeah. People are hungry. Amen. Man, they want to know truth. They know they can't trust the media. They know they can't trust their government. They know they can't trust their political party. They know there's hirelings in every direction. They can't trust their religion. But if we can give to them Jesus, if we can give to them the Word of God, man, if the Word of God, if they get born again and they get their feet taken root in the rock, Christ Jesus, man, it's a whole new life. This is an opportunity like we have never had as people of God. People are hungry everywhere. I promise you that's the case. If you've not recognized it, you aren't talking about Jesus. People are hungry and searching for the truth. My only question is this. Is the church ready to respond? And if we're not, God will raise up somebody else. If I'm not, God will raise up somebody else. That's happened in other generations. Man, is the church ready to respond? Or are you sitting back and fearful? 23rd Psalm. Turn over there, would you please, if you're not already there. Let's stand together. Let me read these six verses. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, and he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. Lord, this psalm has been preached forward and backward and side to side. Lord God, I pray that you take this passage of Scripture and you not only ring the bell with the great truths of the Word of God, but God, you would give to us something that we can feed on today and take with us and never forget. God, encourage your church. God, encourage your people. And Lord God, I pray that you just encourage us not to just be, not for self-advancement, but that we might bring others to the Savior and tell them how to be born again. And the family of God might be added unto itself. And Lord, we know the Holy Spirit does that work, regeneration. God, we pray that people would be born again today. Bless everything that we are doing to get the gospel out in spite of us. God, would you bless? We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. It says in the very first verse, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. Can I say this morning? We have it all. As children of God, we have it all. Maybe it's poor English. We got it all. We as children of God, truthfully, God has not left us alone. You understand, we have the Holy Spirit of God. Go to John in chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse 7. I'll read it. If you're not there already, I've already got it. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, is that it is expedient for you that I should go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, that's the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now this passage, Jesus says a lot about the Holy Spirit, but look at verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Jesus said, I'm going to go, and I'm going to send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God. The helper, he'll be here to minister to you. He'll be here to empower you. He'll be there at that moment you call upon Christ for salvation, and he will regenerate you. You will be born into the family of God. He came on the day of Pentecost, and the church was born on that day. And here we are right now in an opportunity in the last days of the church to really make an impact, strike a blow for God in these last days before the rapture of the church. We have it all. We have the Holy Spirit. Not only that, we have the Bible. Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God has given to us Holy Writ. We got God's book. We have the church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We've got the New Testament local church. We really do have it all. We've got brothers and sisters in the Lord. We've got fellowship that the world knows nothing about. We have been invited to enter into the rest that the world knows nothing about. We have it all. Now, we're called of God to be saved. We're called of God to fulfill the Great Commission. We're called of God, we heard this in Sunday school this morning, to suffer. Boy, that goes against American mindsets a lot of times. We are called of God to make the most of the opportunities that God has given to us. God has not left us alone. We even have a good shepherd. And the King David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the shepherd king, said, "The Lord, He's my shepherd, and I shall not want." There is a gifts from God that Paul said to the church at Philippi, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory." That was a people that was sold out to God. They were a New Testament local church putting Jesus first. They were a mission-minded church, and God has always taken care of His people. If you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. I shall not want. Amen. I have in Jesus everything I need. Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, "Man, I'll meet your every need." The children of Israel, as they were wandering in the wilderness, man, they were able to partake of that sweet bread from heaven called manna. God met their need every day. He had quail fly into the camp, and they were able to get that tender meat. Man, they had roast quail, man, every day. They drank from that pure, cold water that flowed from the rock that followed them all through the wilderness. God met their every need. Their shoes never wore out. Their clothing never wore thin. You say, that's a miracle. That is God. He met their need. I'm saying this the best way I know how. I'm trying to say this morning. God takes care of His people. Yeah. Now, if you don't want to follow Him and you're going to do your own thing, good luck taking care of yourself. I'll tell you ahead of time, you'll never have enough money. I'll tell you ahead of time, you'll never find satisfaction in toys. Never. Never. It's here in God. In Psalm 37, we've been studying it on Wednesday night. It talks about, in case you forget, here's Psalm 37 in a nutshell. Maybe this is as far as I'm going to preach this morning. I don't know, so keep your attention right here. All right, here's Psalm 37 in a nutshell. King David says, in case you have forgotten, God takes care of His people. And the ungodly have nothing. Nothing. He said, they're like the grass in the field that is cut down. Grass has some of the shortest life cycles of anything there is. Grass is here today and gone tomorrow. That's the ungodly. Richest man, richest woman you can think of. Most popular person, they're here, they're gone, they're forgotten. You might even read their name in a history book for one culture, but the next culture isn't going to pay any attention to them. They're here, they're gone, they're forgotten. Not so for the godly. Not so for the child of God. God gives to us eternal treasures. We're going to live for Him, with Him, forever, forever and ever in eternity. And everything that we do for God, it's eternal rewards. You know, don't think for a moment, the ungodly, I have it better than you do. That is wrong. Man, you're thinking like that backslidden preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes. You're thinking, man, there's joy out there in a bottle, or there's joy out there in things, or military strength, or popularity. Man, it's here, it's gone. They got nothing. The man that died with money in the bank left every cent of it here in this earth. He had two coins in his pockets. He left that behind as well. It's gone. It's gone. He'll never have it again. Don't think for a moment that the ungodly have it better than you do. They don't. And as a matter of fact, in the life they're living right now, in their temporary riches or whatever it might be, behind their closed doors, without Christ, it's hell on earth. Amen. It's empty. And they may portray something else, but divorce rate keeps going up. People committing suicide. It's empty. But in Christ, we have it all. You know what? One thing I enjoy being pastor of Fundamental Baptist Church is having visiting preachers come and then giving them large love offerings. I just love it. That's why everybody wants to come here, by the way. That's probably why they compliment us so much, too. I don't know that. Derek Hagelin preached at in the Maplewood revival we had last week. And, boy, I can tell you some stories about that. There's a great story about it, but I won't go there. But anyway, I said, hey, Derek, I know you're leaving town. We forgot to give you an honorarium. I'm on the phone. He said, I'll just bring it down with you when I come on Thursday night. He said, I'll pray for your safety all the way down. I said, yeah, here's what's going to happen. You're going to hear there's a head-on collision, a collision. Man, did everything in the car burn? That's Derek. Did you check his pockets? Yeah. No, I was able to bring down the love offering. You cannot outgive God. What a great God we serve. I have so much. So I'm down there at that Thursday night meeting, and Dave Corbier is with me. And I'll bet you a half a dozen people come up to me and said, Pastor Rader, I listen to you every Sunday night. Pastor Rader, I listen to you every Sunday morning. And because I'm not from there, I'm from up here. Dave said to me, man, those people, they think you're a celebrity. I said, yeah, let's not tell them any different. All right? They come over and saw the modular that I lived in. You know, I make fun of that all the time. I feel like I need to say this. I love my house. I love what God has provided for me. Man, I got a warm home, and as long as my refrigerator's full, man, I love it. That's the way I want to live. That's who I am. I'm content with what God has given to me. Amen. I'm like that German Shepherd puppy whose belly is full of milk. Just give me a corner to curl up in, man. I'm a happy guy. The Lord is my shepherd. David said this, I shall not want. I will never want. Man, I haven't even got to a point here this morning. Look at verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. What an appropriate place for the 23rd Psalm. The 22nd Psalm is the Psalm about Calvary. It is a messianic Psalm. There's no green pastures in Psalm 22. Man, there's no still waters in Psalm 22. Man, that's where the wrath of God fell on the sin of the world, on a hill called Mount Calvary in Psalm 22. And then we get to the 23rd Psalm, and the sweet psalmist, same psalmist, pens by way of inspiration, we have Jesus. We'll never want. We have everything. Don't turn there. Psalm 37, David said, I once was young and now I'm old and have never seen the righteous begging bread. Amen. Never. Never. God is good. So if you get nothing else out of this morning's message, don't start believing the devil's lie that the ungodly have it better than you. They don't. And what you have in Christ, the world can't buy. He says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. It's good. It's good. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, and he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Restoration. Sweet. Restoration. Every day, man, the tank gets empty and I come back and he revives me and he restores me all over again. I crack my Bible open, I spend a little bit of time with God, and it's like he fills it up with premium all the way to the top all over again. And I'm ready to go for another day because his mercies are new every morning. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There's the reminder. We're not to be living for our own name. We're to be living for Christ's name. We're to walk paths of, get this, righteousness, not unrighteousness. Amen. Quit blending into the world. Quit blending in and being camouflaged as a Christian. Quit being that spineless child of God that blushes at the name of Jesus when you get around a certain crowd. Man, be a man of God. Walk paths of righteousness. And then when you get to the place of death, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. A right walk. And then when that time of death does come, you'll be ready. Not because you walked right, but because you have no regrets. You live for God. I have a regret. This is real. I don't regret surrendering to preach. I believe if I wasn't a preacher, I'd be dead or an alcoholic. You know, that's kind of where I'd be right now. I know that. It's the grace and the mercy of God. I have no regrets in anything I ever did for Jesus. Not a one. Not a one. Somebody pointed out, some of you know this, some of you don't know this, and some of you were involved in this. the grounds that Camp Canaan land is on, Brother Kinnaman Crawford gave that to me. He said, you take this. You're keeping the church open over here. You take this. Somebody asked me one time, well, why didn't you just build a house over there? Because it was a camp and I have what I need right here. You could have had a pretty nice piece of pride. No, that's God's. Yeah. It's all God's. Amen. And you live for God and no regrets. You know what my one regret is? Listen to this, young people. Listen to this, people that are 45 or 50 years old, because it's not too late for you. I never learned to play an instrument. I do. I regret that. Every time somebody sits at that piano, I get so envious. I see their fingers moving around. And we'll have somebody get up, a preacher come up, and he can play the piano, and he can sing, and he sits down there, and he sings from his heart. I mean, man, I wish I could do that. Every time I see somebody get up and play a guitar or toot a horn, man, I get so envious, because I'd like to be able to do that, just to minister to myself, just to sit under a tree somewhere. And so I do regret that. Anybody feel the same way as I do about that? Talentless people, that's us, talentless people. Or no, undisciplined people. We could have learned, but we had other things going on. Man, I wish I, anyway, I'll get to, maybe in heaven, that could happen. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Oh, I'll promise you this. I'll just say this real quickly. You sell out to God. You get born again. You live for God. When the day comes, God gives dying grace. I've seen it 100 times over. People that got born again, they live for God. They get ready for death. I sit at their deathbed, or I stand next to their hospital bed, or in their living room, and they're ready. They're ready, and they have no regrets. And they love what God, they can't, their only regret is they didn't do more for God. I've heard that so many times. But there's no fear of death. I'm ready to go. Pastor, tell everybody back home, no fear here. No fear. Doctor says I got hours. I'm ready. Man, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Amen. You know why? Jesus is there. Amen. His rod and his staff, they'll comfort you. Amen. No stranger. Next verse. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Man, there's a lot there. Thou preparest a table. There's a table, and there's a chair for you. And God has a place for you. And he said, this is talking about David's own life. He said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Middle Eastern custom. When a host invited you into his tent or into his dwelling, and even if your mortal enemy was seated across the table, you were under the protection of the host, and you could eat in the presence of your enemy, and there's nothing he could do. He could grit his teeth, but there's nothing he can do. The devil might be gritting his teeth at you this morning, but he can't touch you unless God gives him permission. Thou preparest a table. Man, I love to eat. I think Pastor Bill and I were talking about this yesterday. It's always about food, you know. It's always about, you know, that was that way in Jesus' day too. Last Supper, right? The bread and fish, the fish upon the fire on the seashore. Amen. It's like they were always together. Because something about Baptist people, when they get together and they're able to break bread, they're able to fellowship at A&W root beer and have that frosty mug. Man, I enjoyed that. And I want to say again, I never thought I'd prefer the Mama Burger over the Papa Burger, but it was good. I liked it. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou preparest the table. Thou anointest my head with oil. That happened for a king. That happens for every child of God. That oil being a picture of the Holy Spirit. Thou preparest the table. Thou anointest my head. And then my cup runneth over. God, you've prepared the table. You've anointed me. It's my cup that runs over. God is good. God will take care of his people. Last verse, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now there's the proper perspective. Goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. I look back. I trust, should the Lord tarry, I got years ahead of ministry yet. But I look back and I realize, even in the thinnest of times, I had goodness and mercy, the goodness and mercy of God. Over and over and over again. How many times he spared me from death? How about you? You think about it a little bit. how many times God has blessed your table and your freezer. How many times a good brother, a good sister come along to encourage you and say the right word, the appropriate word, right at the right time. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I pastor Fundamental Baptist Church. So I mentioned Bobby Hall yesterday or last week, and I didn't mention him by name. And I felt like maybe I should have mentioned him because he does watch the live stream from time to time. He's from Pickford. He's a truck driver, drives a dump truck. Saw him in a gravel pit a week ago. He got out of the gravel pit, called me by name. We rehearsed old times, remembered good times. He sent me a picture. Said, "I got a picture. I know you want to see it. And I'm three or four years old. Bobby's 3 or 4 years old. We're on two ends of a bucksaw, different ends of a bucksaw. And obviously our parents put us out there. And it's in September. The photograph is dated, and there's this much snow on the ground. The good old days, right? The good old days." Our dog named King, 3/4 wolf, looked just like a wolf, is standing right behind us. Man, brought back a flood of memories. God has been so good to me. And he said it again. He said what I've heard so many times. I can't believe you're a preacher. Man, I can't believe. And it's the mercy of God. It's the grace of God. God has been good to me. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
In your own life. Now the last part of the psalm. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
Jesus didn't come to save societies and cultures, but sinners.
Yeah.
Saved by grace, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You say, preacher, literal house? Yes, literal house. John in chapter 14. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to live there one day. Oh, it's a great house. There's a great table spread there. It's going to be a wonderful eternity. And that's what the psalmist says. Not only goodness and mercy every day, not only his comfort, his rod and his staff in the hour of death, not only the walk in the path of righteousness, not only does Jesus meet my every need, but I'll live with him forever. Do you have that hope? Do you have that peace? Do you know that you're born again? We're going to have an altar call here in just a moment. I want you to get saved this morning if you're not saved. I'll help you come to Christ. If you're here this morning as a child of God and you know somebody that's struggling, I will ask you to come to the altar and pray for them by name. If you're a child of God, you know somebody that's searching. How about you humble yourself, walk an aisle, and whisper their name before the throne of God here this morning? If you're unsaved, I invite you to come. Hey, that's being real. I know you can pray where you're at, and maybe you will, and maybe you've done it that way many times. How about some humility? Yeah, I don't need to do it just because other people do it. Well, that's fine. Okay, no problem. How about some humility? If you're here and you're hoping you're saved, you might not be saved. So you're just trying to scare. No, I don't want you to go to hell. It's real simple. It's a heart cry to God. You've got to make sure you've done that. There must be a time and a place where you are born again, where you ask Jesus to come into your heart. So if you're here and you're not sure, or you're listening or watching by way of live stream, listening to a radio broadcast, and you're not sure, you need to bow your head right now. So let's pray one more time. And this is an appeal. This is for anyone who does not know they're saved. Dear God, just pray like this in your heart. I need salvation. I need you as my Savior. Please forgive me. Come into my life and come into my heart. And save me now. In Jesus' name, I'm trusting you alone for heaven. Amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, you meant it. Anybody else? You say, I prayed today. I received Christ today. If you're watching by way of live stream and today you prayed and received Christ, tell somebody about it. You got to tell somebody about it. You call us, we'll help you.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.